BlakeRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is Matt Hardy.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect? And damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I can increase my work rate. I can add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Awesome Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Master. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, and obviously I am the only adult.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace.
You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding, or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is going to be a little odd, as you are listening to me, the Omega, but unfortunately, we only have Mace with me this week.
Unfortunately.
Well, I was really hoping to hold the show down by myself, but, you know.
Oh, look, if you want to take the show by yourself, I can leave.
Dear God, no.
Ah, oh, come on. You know, you can do it all. You'd be able to produce your own shows and make them funny.
There's no video. I don't have a pre-written script.
You have Lita jokes.
I have Lita jokes. Do I have them for 2 hours? No.
Why not? Well, I suppose 2 hours of Lita stand-up would be too much for her. I'm sorry, it was a stretch. So yes, no Tim Stein tonight, no Spug. Tim's had to trundle off due to family matters. Spug, I believe, is out helping at a indie wrestling show, which leaves myself and Omega to cover this week in wrestling news and other shit. Which means this is gonna be like OTL, just with more wrestling talk and less geeky shit.
Only a little less geeky shit.
Only a little. I'm quite sure we can derail this show in the talks of
video
games and Kamen Rider and all that stuff like we usually do. Because, well, that's what we do. We like derailing shows. Other than that, are going ungodly holy wars against other shows. For no reason whatsoever.
None. Just randomly.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, we love the derailing things so much, I'm sure we had a hand in why Gaddafi's leaving too soon. Or too current affairsy for people listening to a wrestling show above their intelligence level.
I am wrestling fan, I am the uneducated.
Wrestling fan smash! Sorry, I was watching Hulk this morning.
Which one?
The animated series from the 90s.
Oh, okay, good man.
Yes, finally got them last night, so. It's like, yay, wake up this morning, ooh, cartoons. It's one thing that disappears from our lives is the good old Saturday morning cartoons. Mind you, it's not Saturday.
Sure, it's Saturday Monday somewhere.
I'm quite sure. Mind you, you should say this before we start ducking into the issues of the evening. Good to see that Rock's here to produce our show,
mm-hmm.
Which means his house is still standing and he's still in it. considering that his beaches were under like 6 foot of water, from what I was shown. Well, every now and again, I was getting photos of people going, there used to be a beach here. There used to be a road there. Why is somebody swimming down the street? Why are people streaking past newscasters?
It's very, it's kind of hard because me as a Floridian, you say, well, category one hurricane made landfall and now a tropical storm is going through New England. It's just me from Florida. I'm like, we don't even bring the garbage cans in for that.
It's like, it's Tuesday. Look, people are flying sideways. Oh, well. Just means it's going to have a good day to hang out the washing.
But, like, in all seriousness, though, I mean, down here in Florida, you're prepared for that kind of thing. The houses are built for it. Hell, the trees evolve for particularly harsh hurricane-force weather. New York's got no idea what a hurricane feels like until now.
True. Because in Florida, aren't the trees like made out of rubber or something? They just bend sideways and then spring back up.
It's kind of weird. Like palm trees are built that way. So they flex in the wind instead of snapping.
Nature has some very interesting mechanics. It's one of those few times where you'll actually step back and sort of look at the world and go, here it is, we build houses out of brick and steel and they fall over when they get hit with extreme winds. Nature created a tree that bends sideways and then just springs back to normal. Why can't we be that smart?
We can only figure out how to make steel rubber.
Flexible steel.
Yeah, can you just imagine if you're in a hurricane or a tornado and suddenly your house just, like, slants? It's like everything bouncing around like you're inside a jello mold.
That would be fun.
It would be, but not for the stuff hanging on the walls.
True. It seems now we're creating a craving for jello in our listeners.
Jello, jello, jello.
Wibbly wobbly.
Speaking of listeners, happy birthday, Jersey Girl.
Yes, happy birthday, Jersey Girl. It's about as much as you're going to get out of this. No song, no nothing.
No, I'm sorry. No birthday song.
We are not the singers of the network.
I've got the singing capacity of a blender.
Really? A blender? So you singing is you going...
Pretty much.
I'd like to hear that.
No. No, you would not.
Aw. Omega's a spoil sport.
Damn right I am.
Such a downer, dude. You really are. So yes, if anyone feels like calling in at any point during the show, please do. I give you the number, but I don't have it memorized because I have the memory of a goldfish. Or you? Oh, look, Rock's even been nice enough to post a number for me. 267-297-1397. Has a lot of sevens. Or you can call Sir Rockin' on Skype.
That's how you know we're not fully trained yet, is that we do not have the number buried in our heads.
No. I suppose we should, like, actually talk about this week in wrestling, huh?
We should.
We should, most definitely.
Or I could tell you the time I eliminated every character from Royal Rumble during Super Nintendo's Monday Night Raw game.
That had a Royal Rumble mode?
Yeah. There were only like 12 people in it, but it was there.
I thought it was only the actual Royal Rumble game that had that feature.
No, once Raw came after, so it was one of those, like, you know, the same way THQ does, well, we already have the mode in, might as well just leave it.
Yeah, THQ needs to do that more. Instead, we're taking stuff out to put in nothing.
It was just kind of funny back in the day. It's like, it's a Royal Rumble, but the computer can only handle 4 characters at a time, and there's only 12 guys on the game.
Yeah.
And if you eliminate all 11 opponents, it's like, they give you the little you win screen, and there's like barely any room to fit any other victims.
Yeah, I remember doing the same sort of thing in the Royal Rumble game as Razor Ramon.
Razor.
And everybody got outside of Edge, straight to the outside of the ring. Mind you, I had no idea how I did it. I was just randomly pushing buttons on the controller, but it worked.
Well, even back then as a kid, you figure out, oh, hey, if I can, like, if I just stand here and I just give people back body drops when they try to charge me, they're going to go over every time.
Very true, very true. The thinking about, like, I can go all the way back to the original WWF WrestleFest on arcade, which that could handle, like, I think it was either 6 or 8 guys on the screen at once. Then you look at how the game's evolved over the years, and you get less and less people in the Royal Rumble, even though the consoles and what you were playing it on was getting more powerful. Like, you look at the SmackDown series, at one point they had 6 guys in the ring at once, and that was like this great feat. Then they dropped it back down to 4. They went up to 8, down to 6. Nowadays it's like 6 still.
You know what upsets me?
What?
As a child, I can eliminate everyone from a Royal Rumble game ever. Like, I can eliminate all 11 other characters. If you put that game in front of me today, not a fucking chance.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well.
Wait, I want to know where that dexterity went. I want to know why the hell I could accidentally beat Chippendale Rescue Rangers for the Nintendo as a kid. I can't even get past stage 4 now.
Because today's games have become cutscene-riddled messes that don't actually have any real gameplay to them.
I don't buy into those, remember.
True.
I'm the one, you know, I'm the one who played Mega Man 9 and went, can we make this harder, please? Because this was rewarding.
Yeah. See, here it is, you go Mega Man 9 and go, can we make this harder? If you go back to, like, Mega Man 2 or 3, you'd be like, oh my god, shoot me now!
Hey, I played through Mega Man 2 all, you know, like, once a year at least. It's on my list of games that you must play once a year. I love that game. That was like, oh my god, I miss this kind of thing. That was me, my best friend, and his little brother all taking turns on the controller trying to beat that game. You know, 3 lives at a time. It was awesome. It was, you know, I miss the camaraderie with other gamers that you had as a kid. You'd be playing in person and you'd only need one controller.
Or in the case of some consoles, you get 2 controllers. Playing NBA Jam with my cousin for an entire weekend because the save feature on the Super Nintendo cartridge of NBA Jam never actually saved anything. So once you shut off the console, that was it. So we'd have the console running all night long while we slept, come up, get up in the morning and keep playing until we won. Man, now I'm getting nostalgic for like the old days of consoles. Because seriously, what was better on a weekend as a teenager than getting together a Super Nintendo or a Sega Genesis with 2 controllers and a copy of Street Fighter? And you just pass controllers around, and it'd be winner stays on, and you'd be all talking smack against each other. And you'd have fun, goddammit.
Okay, fine, we have online gaming now, you can play Street Fighter against anyone in the world. It's not the same.
No, it's not as much fun as sitting there talking smack, face to face, instead of having a headset with a 12-year-old in the US who believes they're top shit just because they can score a headshot in Halo.
Yeah, and they just learned very creative curse words.
Yeah. See, that reminds me of our arcade conversation on OTL. The good old coin on machine I got next.
Oh, man.
The good old days. See, now, if this was a movie, this would be the part where Rock plays memories. And there'd be a flashback of all the days gone by of standing around.
I don't miss, 50 cents per game.
Well, for you guys back in the old days, it used to be just a quarter a game. For us, it was 40 cents.
Well, sometimes, like, the more popular games, once they figured out, oh, hey, people will play this no matter what we charge, okay, let's bump it up to 50 cents. And now, God, I mean, the only games you can still play in the arcades are like $4.
Yeah. And they got the, most of the goddamn fucking Dance Dance bullshit. Which I hate because I'm an uncoordinated white guy.
Yeah. Speaking of uncoordinated white guys, Matt Hardy fell.
nicely done. Yeah, so it seems Matt Hardy decided that he's going to trip and fall in his home and then end up in hospital. Which seems to be the start of a very downward spiral for Mr. Matt Hardy.
Oh, he's been spiraling for a while.
Well, last weekend he was arrested on suspicion of a DUI. And was fired
suspicion
from TNA.
Suspicion of a DUI, as they had to get his car out of the tree.
Yeah. But, Matt has a brand new car now, and he's even joking about being sober. Because for some reason, the song Sober by Tool came on the radio as soon as he bought the car.
Well, he said it was a sign.
A sign is the thing he should have read before plowing into a tree.
There you go.
I'm quite sure it said stop. Or actually, if it was really ironic, it would be something like, don't drink and drive, you bloody idiot. Yeah, one of those anti-drink driving billboards. You'd be like, oh, that's a good idea. Smash. Irony. So, it seems that our favorite Joker decided to comment on this whole Matt Hardy situation.
Oh, no.
Okay, later. She comments on Twitter that she's been out of the loop, just read up on Matt Hardy, and I'm absolutely sick. Hope you can find inner peace.
What is she doing in Nicaragua?
Probably playing stupid music. Either that, or she slept her way down there.
You know... Okay. Normally when a girl sleeps around that much, it's to get to like LA or New York or some place where they can make it big and only to work as a waitress at a diner while doing porn on the side to pay the bills.
She wanted to be different.
She wanted to be different. She wanted to fuck her way to the bottom.
Oh well, maybe she'll get together with Matt Hardy down there.
No, they don't have speed limits there, do they?
I don't know.
They don't have cars there.
Nicaragua!
That's what I was going to say. The last time I heard, the last time I ever heard Nicaragua, it was something that Beavis shouted.
Really? I heard it on the comedian Gabriel Iglesias. It's on his audio album, and he was asking people where they're from, and one of the guys going, Nicaragua! Okay, dude, calm down.
Jackie, my thing with Lita.
He secretly wants to burn her.
No. No. Fuck you.
No.
It just started as this little joke I would do. Where, like, Lita had the reputation of the locker room bicycle that everyone has had a ride, which came out after the whole Matt Hardy Edge Lita thing. And it just became, she was just the, I don't know why, but I am very proficient in the field of whore jokes. It's a very, very competitive industry, and somehow I have a talent. Lita was just the easiest target and the most notable target at the time. I could make Karen Angle jokes. No. It's just, at this point, ship has sailed. It's just the running gag now.
Could you make the same type of thing using Kelly Kelly?
No, it wouldn't be a whore joke.
I think they'd be more jokes geared towards Randy Orton if that was trying to focus on Kelly Kelly.
We have plenty of jokes for Orton after the shit in a bag incident.
Yeah, true. It's just one of those things.
I don't know. See, like most of my jokes are improv, like on the spot things. So if I made a Kelly joke, it'd have to be in the moment, and you know, it would have to be the right timing and the right phrase to respond to.
Whereas later seems to fit any situation.
Lita can fit a great many things, yes.
See?
Very easy. Whore jokes. Easy!
And this coming from the PG guy on YouTube.
I'm completely PG on YouTube.
What are you up to now? 8,000 followers?
It's like close to 8,400.
Yes, and that would be youtube.com/TJOmega. You get to watch him play with dolls.
Or I can review cartoons over tjomega.blogspot.com.
Yes, you
could. Which now has a little Facebook application thing, so you can like TJ Omega on Facebook.
Yes, I don't know why anybody would like TJ Omega, but, eh, it happens. It's like nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat some worms. But anyway. Back to Matt Hardy thing as we're down in the bottom
spiral,
of the barrel.
Yes.
Do we believe that this is the end of Matt Hardy's career?
Yeah.
Explanation?
Well, I don't know. See, Matt Hardy, it's not the Attitude Era anymore. He doesn't have the physical shape to jump off of ladders and you know, just do stupid stunt shit in the ring. You know, what he was famous for is over. What he's been doing is clinging on to what little he had left. Like, let's face it, even in the WWE, where his core audience is, he just wasn't generating the same kind of pop he used to. He's been in a way in this little downward spiral for years. And now we hit this where even TNA won't have him. And
so
he'll
not even hanging on the Jeff's coattails is going to help him anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you'll still see him working indie gigs, but you know, and charging a little bit more than you know your typical indie wrestler. But beyond that, I don't think you're ever going to see him on TV again.
It is possible. Right. I'll agree with all of that, with the exception, I believe there's already talk of bringing him into Ring of Honor. Which I think is a stupid move.
Oh, that's a laugh.
Yeah, Ring of Honor, while they might be needing the extra credibility, they don't need to get it from Matt Hardy. Because frankly, I know I've said this once this year, and I said it in relation to Scott Hall, but after watching some of Matt's recent YouTube videos, with his house being trashed and everything, and the way he's been acting, plus the DUI and all that type of stuff, it's getting to the point where you got to put the death watch on Matt Hardy. You got to wonder, how long is it going to be before we either see, you know, Matt Hardy dies of overdose?
See,
or we find him in a hospital with some major problem.
See, I don't think you put the death watch on him. Like, I mean, this isn't a... You know, this isn't a Scott Hall incident, you know, where we can't see him in public without intoxication. You know, and you still don't know what even caused him to fall in his house, you know.
He probably, you know, like, tripped over one of the million and one things that are lying all over the floor of his house. Seriously, it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, some things have fallen over. This is like somebody's gone through the house throwing shit everywhere. That's what makes me think, oh, you know, that there might be some out of control Matt Hardy issues that he needs to address.
Yeah, probably.
But then again, both of them Hardy boys need to address problems and other things. So I recently found out Jeff's on his way back to TNA.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's not like there was ever a reason to watch TNA recently. So...
Yeah, wake it. Okay, how about, like, can't we just get, like, you know, as long as it's TNA, like, how about we just book Jeff Hardy, Scott Hall, and Jake Roberts on the same show and just wait for the train wreck?
I want to see that booked.
Because you know you would watch. You know you would watch. You put all three of those on the show.
Yeah.
You know you would watch just because shit will go down eventually.
Whether it's by people actually doing wrestling moves or people just falling over due to drug and alcohol abuse.
Now, wouldn't it be cool if it happened during a three-way and like they all just like fell at the same time and held each other up like teepees?
I want to see that happen. Only if Scott Hall is wearing his Elvis costume again. And Jackie Feist, I didn't even know Jake Roberts was sober. I don't think he's ever gotten on the wagon, let alone fallen off it. But then again, nobody's really heard anything from Jake Roberts in like the last couple of years. Since he appeared in TNA, surprisingly enough, for like one match, did a crappy ass DDT and disappeared.
Yeah, he's been way off the radar.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't become another Perry Saturn.
Well, Perry Saturn, I can understand why he fell off the radar.
He was on drugs.
Well, you would
That's what it was. He was on drugs, and he didn't want anybody to see him, and he made sure he disappeared.
Hey, hey, hey.
The U Shoot with Perry Saturn, available over at kayfabecommentaries.com. And with that being said, I suppose we should take our first break.
Yeah.
And we can come back with more weird and wonderful allegations of people doing stuff in the past with Ric Flair.
Excellent.
So you're listening to WrestleTalk Radio right here on wildtalkradio.com. We shall be back after this commercial break.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the retired. Just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street. Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
kicked is 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is.
All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy.
Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking...
about to get plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest name stopped by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal. This is Rick, the model Martel.
This is the king of old school, Keith Reno.
It's me, it's me, it's that B-O-double-G. This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio, Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on WildTalkRadio.com.
19, you big fat sucker!
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live. Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
It's cool if you have Bieber fever, because I have Bieber nausea.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's me, it's that B-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for ya. Suck it.
Welcome back to 2001 A Space Odyssey. No. Yeah, I really don't like interrupting that music because it's so fucking epic. Yeah, okay, I'm gonna start talking over the fucking thing now. Welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Found at wildtalkradio.com, and I'm quite sure we have, like, Justin TV and all this other things I could be shelling right now. You know, if I actually got paid for this shit, I'd actually have money.
If I got paid, I'd have money. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Fuck it. It makes sense.
I can't argue that.
Exactly. I has logic. Your argument is invalid. Well, actually, I recently saw a team up between pirates and ninjas. All arguments are now invalid. Japanese pirates and ninjas, which makes it even scarier. Anyway, it seems that this week has been an interesting one in the life of Ric Flair. A website, grantland.com, has done a very, very long article about the life of Ric Flair based on court documents and legal proceedings and interviews with ex-wives and all this other fun stuff. Basically, I think Sun Tzu's The Art of War is smaller by comparison. I got about halfway in and gone, oh my god, this is a hatchet job on Flair, and I stopped reading. And I'm quite sure Omega hasn't read it.
Yeah, I've been a little occupied this week.
Yeah. Yeah, with them little windstorms.
Windstorm didn't even come here. We got a few showers off of the edge of it. That's like it.
Yeah, I noticed that. We were looking at it on what, OTL? And it was like, oh, it's coming straight near path. No, it's done a complete fucking swing and gone straight up the east coast.
Yeah, they usually do that. Don't know why. Always happens that way, though. It has to take a really odd, like, it has to go off into the Gulf and bounce off an oil rig before it comes toward my area.
But,
I find it hilarious. I've got a friend in Canada right now who's horribly disappointed that, it's her first tropical storm and there's no carnage.
this is my first national nature disaster and nothing's happening. It's horrible. I wanted to see death, destruction, and carnage. Your friend's a sadist.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I want to see cities destroyed. I want to see lives ruined. Fucking crazy. But yes, speaking of lives being ruined, it seems that this story has done a really good job of making Flair look like a complete and utter asshole.
I thought he did a pretty good job of that himself.
Yeah, true, but this just makes him look like to be the devil. Actually, it makes Flair look like the guy the devil would go to for evil advice.
He has weekly evil lessons with Satan, and Satan is a slow learner.
I'm trying not to imagine that scenario and how those lessons would go.
You finally passed on, you've gone to hell, and you get down, and Satan's there with a pitchfork going, woo!
Your punishment for eternity, knife edge, chops in the corner.
Okay.
Ten
millennia of watching these man boobs jiggle.
Oh, good lord, what would you have to do to deserve that? That took something real funny and just went real dark turn there. Wrong.
Okay, here's the ninth level of hell for murderers and traitors. Now here's the tenth level for that guy who produced Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so glad I am not anywhere near that fucking thing. Like, they've started showing it on TV here and I'm like, nah.
No.
I'm just waiting for the show to disappear after, like, you know, one of them fucks something up and they all get murdered.
Now, if they come up with your version, a version for your area of the world, and they do like the New Zealand shore, or like half the live sheep.
Well, one, New Zealand is not Australia.
I know.
And if they went over there, I couldn't care less. I'm quite sure there'd be a lot of sheep shagger jokes. Mind you, they come down here. I hope they get bottled or something.
Dude, we're going to take the situation and we're going to put them in the most beautiful scenic areas in the entire world. We filmed Lord of the Rings here, for God's sakes. Now we're going to talk to whores here.
You know what? If they could throw him in Mount Doom, I'm all for it. He is the volcano that was featured in Lord of the Rings. Why don't you have a closer look? Oops! Oh, shit, sorry. J-Wow, why are you floating in lava?
Well, he's not so much floating as he is horribly burning.
Oh, good lord. Really, Rock? Really? They took the Jersey Shore people to France. What did they do? Go around pretending everybody was Jerry Lewis?
Talk about a waste of culture.
Yeah, a waste of culture, a waste of man hours, a waste of brain cells. I'm quite sure there's somebody in our chat room that's going to disagree with that. And I'm a Jersey Shore fan. Get up.
And yeah, well, we all enjoy a good train wreck.
Ah, here we go. I don't know. How about we put the Jersey Shore people in the ring and actually have them fight it out and then blow up the ring? I don't know. It'd work in Japan. They like blowing people up in wrestling rings. Just ask Terry Funk.
Oh, I've seen some exploding barbed wire electrified cage matches.
Oh, yeah. Mind you, I just mentioned Terry Funk then. He's another guy who's disappeared off the radar finally.
For his own good.
Maybe he's actually retired.
No. Not possible. No,
not possible? Okay. But anyway, now that we've like steered very, very far away from Ric Flair. Oh, okay. Terry Funk wrestled Rowdy Piper at the Gathering of the Juggalos show recently. At 4 o'clock in the morning. What did they do? Fight in their pajamas? For 2 minutes. What did they do? Throw a punch, both miss, collapse, and die of heart attacks? I'm like trying to go back to this Ric Flair story, but to be honest, there's not much to it. Website has published a very scathing article against Ric Flair. Flair's said, while he might not comment directly on the piece, there are bits in it that are fraudulent, that are taken out of context, blah, blah, blah. People have gone, oh, well, here's where it's been cited. And it's now become a big back and forth stupidity thing. Is there really anything worth discussing about this?
Not especially. I mean, ooh, it's a defamation lawsuit. Big. We've known for years Ric Flair is kind of a mess. This is just the first time that a lot of people just got to see it all in one place.
Yeah. He's on what? 4 ex-wives, 16 dead business deals, and he owed money for a title belt.
He came out of retirement to work for TNA. I think that should tell you everything.
Yeah.
Like, what's more embarrassing for Flair is the fact that he still lives this rock star lifestyle. He doesn't have the age or the money to do it anymore. And he just keeps getting in more trouble. It's like, he's gotten to the point where live every day like it's your last. I think he's kind of counting on that right now.
Pretty much. But the thing is, it's Ric Flair. He's going to be living until he's like 6,080. But, eh.
God, it's upsetting. Because I had.
It is. Like,
yeah, because, understand, wrestling fans. You know, 10 years ago, I had enormous respect for Ric Flair. Like, tremendous amounts. And if he had just walked off when he actually had the chance to, yeah, fine. Would have been perfect. You want to talk downward spirals.
Yeah, true. Like, if he had walked away after that match with Shawn Michaels that he had at WrestleMania, he would have left with a lot of respect and people wouldn't bother him. Then he goes to TNA and it's like, wow, really, dude? How far do you want to go into the gutter?
Yeah, it's just upsetting.
Yeah,
you don't want to see it. You just don't want to see this happen to your heroes.
True. Especially when you have in TNA Ric Flair versus Sting in the battle of who's crazier. And considering we've seen Flair stripped down to his underwear on live television, I think Flair's crazier than Sting.
Now, gee, what could have reminded you of that moment?
Ric Flair versus Sting promo on Impact this week, where Flair started taking off his jacket and shirt and elbow dropping them.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine during Nitro. He still had some kind of definition to him. Not now.
It's like watching the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. There we go. Jackie Feist in the chat room saying, there's nothing wrong with Flair being on television, really. He could hold a position similar to Teddy Long's and brought a lot of experience to it. That I'd agree with. If Flair was in a like a network executive role or a GM role or something where he just can be normal, have a suit on that's like stapled to him or something so it can never come off, and just talk and give people experience. Hell, he could have gone on to be a really good road agent for a lot of the new talent that's coming up through the ranks of wrestling in both TNA and WWE these days.
As long as his road advice doesn't go to, when you're in this town, you absolutely have to remember, it's 2-for-1 draft night every Wednesday down at Houlihan's.
No, that's the advice that you want to get. where's the cheap booze? Where are the women?
Well, he'll tell you where the booze is. I don't think he's going to share the women pile.
Why? Because they're all full of his ex-wives?
Yeah, would you take his advice with women at this point?
Oh, hell no. Not at all. Where to find the good booze? Yes. Where to get the women? No. So do we want to take another break here, or what?
Here's what's really bad. We've gotten more laughs out of Ric Flair than Matt Hardy.
Give it time.
Should not give, be possible.
Give it time. It'll happen.
Yeah, it'll happen eventually.
Yeah. Well, I'm being told we should be doing a round table.
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy round table with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
And there's my singing voice.
And it didn't sound like... It sounded like Christopher Lloyd in Anastasia. Yes, people, let's see if you can get that reference. Or better yet, how much do you remember that movie even exists?
I was tone deaf today.
I was frozen today. Now, that's wrestling related. Name that movie.
Yeah.
And who was the wrestler in it? And yes, chat room, that's a challenge for you. With that line, what was the name of the movie and who was the wrestler in it? I will be keeping an eye on the chat room for the people who post the answers. As for our round table, the question is the WWE champion Alberto Del Rio being overexposed? Also, is WWE trying too hard to make Alberto Del Rio a legit champion? Go.
Yes. Fucking hell, yes. I mean, you know, since it was on my Netflix, I just went and I watched Chris Jericho, his DVD live story. And the thing is, when they crown him undisputed champion, you know, they give him both of those, you know, both the belts, you know, there's significance behind it because you get to see, you know, how long he was in the industry, how long he was in the other major wrestling promotions before making it to the WWE. You get to see his rise, his character change, and all that. Del Rio is still the same one-dimensional character he came in as. He still has had barely any feuds in the WWE. Granted, I can't take anything away from the guy in the ring, but personality-wise, character-wise, experience-wise, there's guys in that company that have busted their ass, are far more talented, and they get nothing. You know, and all of a sudden you're going to crown Alberto Del Rio, you know, your undisputed champion, and have, you know, completely take the glory off of, you know, CM Punk, who, I will admit, Punk works better without, it, you know, I will admit, I will say this, the outcome to that
the outcome to that match was perfect. I mean, Punk comes out over John Cena, so he wins, but at the same time, he does not hold the belt, which means he's still free to do as he has been doing, the last few weeks, or the last few months, rather. His character right now that he's portraying works a little bit better without the belt, with, you know, where he is the guy looking up, you know, at the top of the rung.
Yeah, I'll agree with all that.
Yeah, but as far as Del Rio goes, the guy should not be where he is right now.
Sorry, we do have a quick correct guess in the chat room as the movie. Yes, it was Suburban Commando. No, it was not Hulk Hogan who said that line. That was Christopher Lloyd. And yes, the Undertaker.
Anyway.
Yeah. And yes, the Undertaker was also in that movie as one of the bounty hunters with the really squeaky girly voice.
This is why he doesn't drop the Undertaker persona. That's his real voice.
But with Alberto Del Rio, yeah, he's the same character he has been. He's been in the company, 2 years now? Something like that?
No!
No?
No!
Only 1 year.
One!
Fuck, it feels longer. And there's been absolutely no evolution to the character whatsoever.
No.
The only
difference is his entire feuds, his entire history of feuds is Rey Mysterio, Edge, and by default, Christian. And that's really it. He has done jack and all storyline-wise.
Yeah, see, this is where I miss the old school progression in wrestling, where you'd have guys come in, they'd either be a jobber opening Raw or something, or, you know, they'll be in a tag team, they'll eventually work their way into an intercontinental title feud, or a US title feud. They'd win that belt, hold that belt, gain their credibility that way, lose the belt, then, you know, they might win the Royal Rumble and then start making the progression to the main event status and eventually world champion. They sort of followed part of that with Del Rio, with the Royal Rumble going into the main event area, but they just did it so fast that the character has got nowhere to go. If there's one thing we both agree on, the character hasn't evolved in a year. To the point where he's now stale as fuck. I don't hate him because he's a heel, I hate him because he's fucking boring.
Yeah, he's one-dimensional. I mean, there's nothing to him. Okay, he's a Mexican aristocrat. Done. He's still working off his original catch line. You know, he hasn't even, you know, it's not just the fact that he hasn't done anything. He hasn't even given anything variation.
Yeah, he's been given the ball and he hasn't really run with it. He runs around in circles going, whoop, 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 whoop.
Don't ever compare him to Curly again.
Okay. I know, Curly was a comedy legend.
Curly's actually managed to entertain me.
Yeah, true. Del Rio overexposed, yes, because he has that JBL ripoff intro that seems to be done at least 2 to 3 times a fucking show. And then putting the title on him and going, yes, this is your champion, here, like him! No. Me no likey. But the thing is, what could you do with Del Rio?
I want to see him go broke.
Have him lose all his money?
Yeah. Or be outed as a fraud. You know, I want all these, you know, Bentleys and Rolls Royces that he rolls in on. I want them to slowly turn into normal cars. He's coming out in a Saturn. He's coming out in a Kia. What?
I'm looking at the moment.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find how much is the peso worth against the
Here's what I want. Here's what I want to see. Right in the middle of a match, I want to see one of his cars getting repossessed. And I want him to run for like 6 months covering up the fact that he is absolutely broke.
So it's a pity that they got rid of Shag Gaspard, because then they could have prime time steal his cars.
No, not even steal it. Not even steal it. I want him to be, like, I want him to be outed.
Bring back the Reaper Man!
It'd be a little bit more interesting to me if he was outed as an absolute fraud. You know, he doesn't actually have this money. You know, he's been renting his cars or borrowing them or...
They all belong to Ricardo.
They all belong to Ricardo. That would be cool, actually. You know, Ricardo does
a takeover.
Ricardo's the rich, Ricardo's the rich one. He's just doing this to amuse himself. He's just like, Ricardo ends up being one of those batshit crazy rich people.
Like Richard Branson?
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you to both Rock and Jackie for pointing out that one peso is like 8 cents in the American dollar. See, that could go along with your storyline, Omega. He's like this multi-millionaire, but it's all in pesos, and it really comes out to something like $14 American.
Yeah, well, that's what they had to do. They start booking him as the Mexican millionaire.
And he's already the Mexican aristocrat, so same deal, really.
Yeah, but aristocrat means that he is rich by comparison, in general. You know, if you just call him, well, you know, Mexican millionaire, it means he's got about 1 million pesos. So it works out to about $80,000 here.
Jersey girl pointing out in the chat room that she wants JBL to come back and, hey, you stupid Mexican, you stole my gimmick. That's her words, not mine. You remember, Omega and I, we're the racially tolerant ones. As we found out on OTL recently. By the way, since he's not here, Rocky, you got that clip handy? It'd probably take him a moment.
It's worth waiting.
Yes, Jackie, the peso is worse even less if it was converted into Australian dollars.
I'm allergic to black people.
And that's why he's not here tonight. We've had to suspend him for his comments.
So random that he did it twice and in perfect audio. Perfect for clipping. So basically, the results of the WTR roundtable this week, Alberto Del Rio is overexposed. He needs to change, he needs to lose his money, and I think we can all agree Ricardo should be the new focus of that storyline. Yes?
Yes.
Very good. And with that, we'd break. Really? Okay. Well, you're listening to WrestleTalk Radio right here on WorldTalkRadio.com. We'll be back as soon as Alberto Del Rio goes broke.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otuttle Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the IntelliControl.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This one. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, okay. You also ducked the frequency that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rules, Chapter 7, Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over at Otaku Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This station is so awesome, the DJs have to wear ninja suits.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said chill. Break it down.
And welcome back once again to Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And what the fuck is going on with the VMAs right now? Dude, pull your pants up!
People still watch the VMAs.
Supposedly.
MTV's only aired like 6 music videos this year.
A new record. They've gone up from 4. This week in the news and notes, it seems that Mystico, who originally plays Sin Cara, was sent home from the SmackDown taping from Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada. Supposedly the current, I suppose you'd call him the current, Sin Cara, Hunico, is going forth with the character. This could be the end of Mystico in the WWE.
Wow. One of Triple H's projects failed. Actually, kind of surprised.
You realize that now makes him 2 for 2, right?
Okay. Okay, let's be fair. Mystico didn't get pregnant, okay? Little True. Different.
True. I suppose you can't really blame Triple H for that.
Or maybe Mystico did get pregnant. Who knows?
maybe you could blame Triple... No, I don't think he'd be the type that's cheating on Stephanie. Not unless they turn it into a storyline.
Are you implying Triple H fucked Mystico?
No, I was saying that Triple H is responsible for Kong.
Okay, just making sure.
Hey, I can get away with that type of reference when Spug's not here. Or else he'd be up in arms about his husband.
No, because we have another clip that covers that. He hearts fat chick porn.
Ah, true. So yes, I believe I called this one when the suspension happened, that it was basically going to be a countdown until we see, you know, Mystico has been future endeavored. Copyright, WWE, well, 2011.
They were going to go forward with bringing Mystico back in, but apparently he had a match on SmackDown that was so horrible that they actually had to reshoot it. And
I believe that's possibly the one from Calgary. The match against Heath Slater, the first version was done with Mystico, and it was so bad that they said, you know what, get the fuck out of here. We're going to put the replacement in. But you got to wonder, would this type of thing be like a lot worse if it was Mystico actually being Mystico? Because I think the main point here is WWE owns the Sin Cara character, name, and likeness. So they can do whatever the hell they want with it.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Does he go want Sin Cara versus Curry Man? No. I would not. I would not submit Christopher Daniels to that type of horror. No. Daniels actually has talent.
Thing is, like, Mystico got picked up for a reason. He does have the ability to work in the ring, but I think when you try to put him in WWE-style matches, it just doesn't flow as well. Like, and he wasn't really given all that much time to kind of develop it.
No, he went, he was doing some sort of training for 4 weeks or something, then they put him on SmackDown.
Yeah, which is horribly fast.
Yeah.
They
should have sent him down to FCW to get acclimatized to their way of working and then brought him in.
Right. Yeah, so if the Mystico experiment was a failure, this was a failing on the WWE's part. Because we know the guy can wrestle. You know, they hired him for a reason. Triple H liked this guy for a reason.
Yeah. By the way, Jersey Girl, if it's not Daniels with the Curry Man mask on, it is not Curry Man. Daniels is Curry Man, no matter how much he denies it. I miss Curry Man.
Yeah.
It was just that that intro alone for Curry Man was awesome. Anyway, speaking of people with masks on, Rey Mysterio took to Twitter on Saturday to discuss his knee surgery that he underwent the day before. Good morning to all, Mysterio wrote. 24 hours after surgery, at home recuperating, pain is insane, going crazy. So, he's had his ACL, PCL worked on, and bone spurs removed. So he's in a lot of pain, so maybe this could be the bionic Mexican we've been waiting for? Maybe Alberto Del Rio funded him with his millions of pesos.
The million peso man.
He's only worth 60 bucks. 6 million peso man, or 60 bucks American.
Stronger, better, faster. No, this is duct tape around my knee. What the hell did you do?
Ah, Sabu. But yeah, so you reckon we're going to have Mysterio coming back, or will he actually go, you know what, I'm in a shit ton of pain. I don't want this to happen again. I might have to quit wrestling.
I hope so. I mean,
you
like,
so?
for the guy's own good at this point, you know, like, I like Mysterio, but surely at this point, like, he's not the type that has, you know, he isn't the type that has screwed up his career or blown his money unwisely. You know, at least you don't see any evidence of it like you have with, you know, with our problematic ones like Mr. Flair. He's got, he's got no reason to stick around at this point. Yeah, he can go, he can retire, he can probably live out the rest of his life and not have to work again.
True.
You know, if he was smart. You know,
yeah.
At this point, he just gets injured so much.
Yeah, but that's the one thing about wrestling, you know, you said that's a smart thing to do. Most wrestlers, and this is why Terry Funk, you know, retires and unretires so much. It's, you get addicted to the adrenaline that you get while you're in the ring. You get addicted to hearing the crowd cheer and boo for what you do. A lot of these guys can't live without that recognition and that adulation. So they're going to push themselves till pretty much they're going to end up in the grave. And I know that from first-hand experience because, hell, I've been away from the ring for over a year and I'm like, I really want to get back into it. But I'm too fucking fat these days to do it, so can't be fucked.
Still, there you go. I mean, you have physical limitation that makes you smart enough to go, this is not good for me long term.
That would be my knee injury, yeah.
Well, here we go. Mysterio's getting his knee repaired again. To the point where he's going to be out a real long fucking time.
Yeah, well, he'll come back, he'll break something else, and then he'll go back in, and the cycle repeats until they run out of scrap metal.
It's just at some point I would like him to start thinking about, you know, longevity of life. You know, he's going to be, you know, like, how old is Mysterio now?
He's got to be in his early 40s by now, I think.
36.
36. There you go.
How many knee surgeries has this guy... Look at how many times this guy's had surgery, and he's not even 40 yet. By the time he's 50, he's going to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, or it could be hobbling about like Mick Foley. But it's their own choice. If they want to keep going, they'll keep going. A lot of us would like to see them go, okay, as much as I love performing in front of an audience, you know, I've got a family at home. I want to be able to pick my kids up in 10 years.
Right.
Which is something I don't think a lot of... But then again, you look at how much Rey Mysterio puts his body through compared to most other wrestlers these days.
This is true.
He puts himself through a lot more, and he basically was double or triple that when he was in WCW. So he's put his body through a lot more stress and pain and everything else than most wrestlers would in their lifetime. Which makes an even better case for, okay, I love you all, but I've got to go or else I'm going to end up in a wheelchair. So.
Just to jump in. Hi.
Ah!
The producer, hi.
Hello, God.
Hello.
What?
Yeah, I'm the God here. Hello. No, but on to your Rey Mysterio points. Was it a mistake for him to, you know, wrestle those last couple matches like he did after he blew out his knee? Because they say he did a lot more damage to the knee facing Del Rio for the title.
Hell yes. As somebody who wrestled with a knee injury, I know that it hurts a lot more when you wrestle with a knee injury than without one. He should not have gone into those matches with Del Rio. But as usual, they have to turn around and go, hey, we need to finish out this storyline rather than, he's injured, get him the fuck off television.
Basically, they could have, you know, jumped him from behind in his hometown and screwed him out of a title match.
Yes, they could have done that.
That was
we've seen 100 different ways of getting somebody out of a match. I mean, you know, we had John Morrison come back just to get re-injured just so he wouldn't forget about the guy while he was recovering from his original injury. I mean, it's not difficult.
It's all stupid. And yes, Jackie, I would have been a manager. That was my original intention when I got into wrestling. I actually went in going, hey, I'll be a manager. I ended up on commentary, of all things, and then eventually moved on to wrestling because I was training. So I thought, fuck it, why not go the whole way? Let's see, what else we got sitting here? It seems that, as we were talking about Jersey Shore before, one of our favorite Jersey Shore knockoffs has left TNA. TNA knockout Cookie, a.k.a. Becky Bayless, announced on Twitter that she is no longer working for the company.
No.
Hey, good on her. She's actually going back to WSU for their September pay-per-view, I believe.
We like and, WSU. We like them.
Yes,
here.
We do. We do. We like WSU. They're a great bunch of people. They keep sending us lovely interviewees and very good-looking women at that. They should send more.
Yes, please send more.
Yes. But speaking of TNA knockouts, it seems that there is a bit of discrepancy with the pay scaling for the women in TNA. According to UK-based wrestling magazine Power Slam, reports are that Christy Hemme and Mickey James are the two highest paid talent in the organization. Each earn more than $100,000 a year. Meanwhile, the rest of TNA's female wrestlers and personalities, such as Angelina Love, Miss Testmarker, Jackie, Madison Rayne, ODB, etc., earn only 600 an appearance at most. And that's only if they appear on television. There's no downside guarantees or anything else. The only exception to that is Karen Jarrett. That's only because she's fucking the boss.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Just to point out, the ring announcer and the girl who's fucking the boss get more money than the people who actually do the work.
Yeah.
That'd be fucked up, yo.
Let's keep in mind when I actually had to hear her, oh god, worst ring announcer ever.
I have breaking news for you guys though.
Breaking? What was it? It's one of the mysterious body parts, isn't it?
No, it's not mysterious.
Do we have to pay for it?
No, we don't have to pay for it either.
What did Matt Hardy hit now?
No, it's breaking news on Divas. Whose
boobs popped?
No one's boobs popped, but I think her boob did.
What did Lita get infected with now?
Former WWE Diva Ashley Massaro is planning a wrestling comeback.
Yeah, now give the quote.
I only saw the headline. I didn't read the article.
Okay, basically, she is planning on making a return to wrestling, and the one thing she stressed when she was talking about it was that this time she is going to be trained, going into full-time wrestling training as opposed to learning on a match-to-match basis like the WWE were doing. So it's an interesting look into how the WWE trains their models turn pseudo-wrestlers.
True.
Yeah.
Can we have some fun now?
Yeah, why not?
Can we have some fun now, Mace?
Sure. We're going to go into the oh my god moments.
Yes, and should we call this another roundtable?
Sure, why not?
Let's call this another roundtable.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
You just wanted another excuse to play that clip, didn't you?
Yes.
God.
To balance that out.
I'm allergic to black people.
So how is that balancing out?
They both were played twice.
Okay. Basically, as most of you would have seen due to the advertising on Raw and such, the WWE Oh My God Top 50 incidents in moments in wrestling, quote unquote, history, has hit the shelves. I have been able to obtain a copy of the DVD myself. Rock has also seen it, and Omega can read the list. Does Omega even have a copy of the list?
It should be in the rundown.
Yeah, I have the list.
All right. Shall I do a quick rundown of the top 50?
Go for
no.
it.
No.
Does it go for it? No.
Do it as fast
no
as...
No, go for it.
Do it as fast as you can.
All right, number 50, Seeing Double. Number 49, Nexus is here. 48, Trickslam the Hell. 47, Backlot Brawl. 46, Wedding Surprise. 45, Cena's Feet of Strength. 44, Concrete Crypt. 43, DX Invades WCW. 42, Dumpster Stage Dive. 41, The Grocery Attack. Number 40, Triple H Meets Escalator. Number 39, Tim White Tries to End It All. Number 38, Eric Bischoff, The New Raw GM. Number 37, Orton with Thumbtacks. Number 36, Unholy Wedding. Number 35, Mad Dog Vachon Loses His Leg. Number 34, Hatai Kid Gets a Haircut. Number 33, Vince McMahon Hospital. Number 32, Jeff Jarrett Hits Muller Over the Head with a Guitar. Number 31, Edge cashes in Money in the Bank. That would be the first time he did it. Number 30 is Got Milk with Kurt Angle. Number 29 is the Kiss My Ass Club. Number 28, Jeff Hardy gets blown up with pyro. Number 27, Austin blows up the DX bus. Number 26, Wedding in Vegas with Triple H and Stephanie. Number 25, Snitsky punts a baby and it's not his fault. Number 24, Austin pours concrete into Vince McMahon's Corvette. Number 23, Snake bites Macho Man Randy Savage. That's at the wedding reception. Number 22, Shane McMahon dives off stuff and almost kills himself. Number 21 is the barbershop window incident between Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. Number 20 is Edge spears Jeff at WrestleMania off a 20-foot ladder. Number 19, Kane has a JR barbecue. Number 18 is the first time Stone Cold stuns Mr. McMahon. Number 17 is Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon battle from King of the Ring. Number 16 is Jeff Hardy diving himself off the Titantron and not killing himself. Number 15 is Edge spearing McFoley through a flaming table. Number 14, Stone Cold drives a Zamboni. Number 13, Piper hits Snooker with a coconut. Number 12, WWE buys WCW. Number 11 is anything to do with Mae Young. And number 10, we have the Big Show's father's funeral. Number 9, the Montreal Screwjob. Number 8, Big Show and Brock Lesnar break the ring. Number 7 is Tyson and Austin confrontation. Number 6, Mr. McMahon goes kaboom in a limo. Number 5, Sable, oh my god, handprints on her tits. Number 4, Jimmy Snuka flies off the steel cage, brother. Number 3, Brian Pillman's got a gun. Number 2 is Austin giving everyone a beer bath. And, of course, number 1 is Mankind being thrown off the top of the hill himself. I'm going to die now. Now I am the dead. Blah.
Now you are the dead. Let's pose a question to the chat room, if I may. What is your favorite Oh My God moment?
At least in the WWE.
Yes, in the WWE or WCW. Or
see, as I look over this list, and I went through and when I was watching the DVD, I'm sitting there going, really? This is what you fucking chose? Like, I think it's from like 25 onwards, there was a lot of shit that shouldn't have been that high up. Like, anything to do with Shane McMahon jumping off shit, because he did that so many times that that became standard for him. Jersey Girls pointing out the ECW invades WWF angle. That's not even in the top 50.
Because
the first time there was an invasion angle ever.
Right, and that did make you say, go, oh my god, because you didn't expect to
Oh my god!
You didn't expect to see Paul Heyman on WWF TV, or Sabu dive off the Raw letters.
Yeah, exactly. Like, number 21, which was the barbershop window. That isn't an iconic piece of Shawn Michaels' history. Everybody knows about the superkick to Marty Jannetty and being thrown through the barbershop window. And yet that doesn't even make the top 20. We got to mention about Owen's death. Yeah, legal obligations, dude. They wouldn't put that there ever.
This was a sort of an upbeat DVD.
Yeah, very, very upbeat. Very, you know, these are the moments that made us go, oh my god, for like 2 seconds.
With a really, really bad oh my god type rap song in between each, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible. But, okay, Number 13, Piper hits Snooker with a coconut. Everybody has seen that bit of footage. It comes up almost any time Piper's around the WWE. And they even say it's a legendary piece of footage. Why isn't it in the top 10 at least? And out of my own personal preference, I would definitely put Gene Snitsky kicking the baby up higher. Only because I couldn't stop laughing when I saw it. I remembered the bit when it started. As soon as Snitsky came out, I'm like, oh my god, that's the baby punch, yes! And then I saw it, and then I'm like, oh my god, laugh my ass off.
In the DVD, Regal praises Snitsky for it. That was awesome.
That was the other thing that annoyed me with this DVD as well. Here it is. A lot of these guys are still with the company. Yet, besides, I think it was William Regal during the Kiss My Ass Club bit, and Wade Barrett and Daniel Bryan during the Nexus, they didn't have anybody talking about the moments that they were a part of, which I thought was a wasted opportunity. Because here it is, they still have most of the people that are still in the company, and they could have talked about being a part of that moment.
If they wanted to do a full-length documentary-type deal about it.
Well, that's the thing. They could have done a documentary. They could have spread this over three DVDs and had proper segments.
Well, it is three... That's the thing.
Yeah,
it's
two discs worth of matches.
And promos, yeah.
Yeah. Mind you, I haven't sat down and watched the matches yet.
Me neither. I have them sitting here.
Okay, we're getting things like Slaughter being anti-American.
Yeah.
Yeah, the betrayal would have been an oh my god moment. Hogan coming back as Mr. America is denying it. No, that was just stupidity. That wasn't oh my god. Kane's reveal after losing his mask should have been one.
What, that wasn't on there, I thought?
No. The only Kane moment that's on there is where he turns JR into his own barbecue.
Oh, they did show the foot. I remember they showed the footage and that spawned the JR
yes.
thing. Yeah. But courtesy of WWE Oh My God 50 moments, we're going to hear number 25, just because it's funny.
Okay.
Okay, so here we go.
If you are in need of a babysitter, take Snitsky off your list. If it happens on his watch, just remember, it's not his fault.
Hey, Lita! Say hi to my new friend.
The whole Snitsky personification on television was a little weird to me.
Shut up! What's your name, little baby? Oh, how cute. He doesn't know his name. Did your baby have a name? I guess we'll never know.
Wow. What a savage.
You look a little worried. Are you scared I'm gonna drop him? Take him. Go ahead. Take him. No! You can't have him! He's mine. And I'll do to him whatever I want. What?
What? Oh, my God.
I'll never forget when Snitsky punted the baby.
What a heinous act by Snitsky.
That goes a field goal or something? Come on, man.
But what else could he do? It was fourth and long.
It's just me, being an old villain, but that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Snitsky saying it's not my fault and punting the baby. I think this is one of those things that wasn't designed to be as funny as it wound up being.
Oh, he's a sicko, all right. I'll agree with you on that. Look at him.
The sight of him kicking a baby into the crowd like it was a football was pretty entertaining.
It was kind of a nice spiral.
It wasn't my fault!
That was awesome. Like, they did good work on that, especially when you hear the Monday Night Football music.
Yeah. So,
but,
yeah.
I'd say, like, when this pops up on, like, Netflix or something, give it a watch. If you can get it for, like, whatever they're charging you on Netflix. We don't have it down here, so I can't
it's like
make an approximation.
It's $8 a month for Netflix, I believe.
Well, yep. if you're paying that, then grab the Oh My God moments when it hits Netflix.
But
to be honest, don't bother with the DVD.
Yeah. So, Omega, what is your favorite Oh My God moment?
I said it when this list was first revealed. It's still Shane McMahon showing up on Monday Night or WCW Nitro. Because it's just one of the you knew the buyout happened, but and you had the whole simulcast thing, but there's just something that was so strange and shocking about seeing the Monday the Monday Nitro little name banner pop up on the screen and seeing the name Shane McMahon on it. That you just, I never imagined in my life that you'd be able to see.
Very true. You know, I've seen that moment talked about in, like, the rise and fall of WCW and all that. And I'm sure it gets talked about at some point during the Best of Monday Nitro DVD, which I recently got as well. And that was one of those moments that you would never think in a million years you'd see. Like, it's one of those things, like, I've got both episodes from that night still. And, you know, you start watching Raw, and halfway through Raw is where they do that end of Nitro promo. And it's still real weird, because you had to watch both shows that night to see what was happening.
Oh, yeah.
WCW was... We have no idea what's going on. McMahon has bought our company. That is all we know. We don't know what the hell's going on. We're going to present you the best night we can give you as our goodbye to you. Because they knew that they were fucked. They knew that was their last show.
Oh, yeah.
So they wanted to make it special for the fans. And when, like you said, when it came out and you saw the Nitro nameplate pop up and the name Shane McMahon was on it, it was like, fuck, this is really happening. Because when Vince did his promo at the start of Raw about having the fate of WCW in his hands, it was corny as hell. You know, it just made it seem like another wrestling angle.
Yeah.
But by the end of Nitro, you're sitting there going, wow, this has actually happened.
And then it became just another wrestling angle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Just became another McMahon angle. It didn't even become another wrestling angle. It became another McMahon angle, which I absolutely hate.
It would have been great, but oh my God. It's like how mishandled does it get?
Yeah. We got Knucker in the chat room talking about the Brock Lesnar suplexing Big Show off the top rope and breaking the ring, which was number 8 on their countdown.
Yeah.
That was rigged as fuck. When it happened and you were caught up in the moment, it was like, wow, that really happened. Now you look back at it, it's like, oh my God, that is so rigged. And even then, they didn't fucking hit the little cannons to knock the corner of the rings out properly at the right time.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, I can remember watching that, and it's like, boom, okay, oh, that did something. Oh, it came down again.
Now it's like watching, like, a Power Rangers show, and you can see how far back the explosions are from the place where they hit.
Something like that.
Like I said, don't really bother going out and getting the DVD. If you can borrow it off a friend, do so. If you can get it on Netflix, just grab the top 50 and watch that.
Real quick. If you get this DVD, the one thing to watch is Tim White trying to end it all.
Yeah, because a lot of that was WWE.com exclusive.
Yes.
And you never noticed, like, the stuff they showed on television was tame compared to what they put on the website. Like Tim White jumping into a giant industrial fan. What the hell? And he survived it. He
survived it all. Oh, my God. See, there you go. It makes you say, oh, my God. But yeah. The Sable handprints, I don't think should have been on the list that high.
No.
Or the limo blowing up, because I don't remember saying, oh, my God, when it blew up, because...
Didn't we come on the air the following Sunday going, what the fuck was that shit?
I don't think we were doing this show at that time.
No, we weren't. No, that was back in the old era. Because I remember that was the...
Oh, right. Back in the...
That was just before all the Benoit stuff came out.
Yeah, that was the week before.
Yeah. Yes, I remember I was actually a listener to this show back then. Just a listener, a little nobody in the chat room.
Wow.
Yeah,
look at me now, I'm a nobody with a radio show.
How'd that happen?
One of the hosts got pissed off and left. And then you got in another Australian who was absolutely retarded at his job, and then you brought me in because, I don't know, you need somebody to take the reins off him.
We're not supposed to be talking about that. Remember, we're not supposed to look in the past.
Whatever. Anyway, I believe we can do stuff now.
We can. It's time for the great debate.
It's
sounded for.
I have a fancy intro. You want to kill it again?
Yes. Well, there's only three of us here. I'd rather wait until we actually have.
Yeah, not a whole lot great going on this week.
Yeah, there's not much great into this debate.
And I worked on a goddamn intro.
Well, you can save it till next week.
Pain in the balls. Give you a little bit of power, and 2 weeks in a row you've killed off the great debate. It's like you don't even want to do it.
Wait, is this Monday night?
2 weeks in a row you've killed off the great debate.
Well, how about we actually have all our hosts here, and we can actually do the damn thing?
When is that going to be?
I don't know. Why don't you tell Spug to quit wrestling and Tim to other stuff?
Tim to stop being Canadian?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, plus,
we're pretty much getting close to our 2-hour mark, so we'll go to quick hits.
Yeah, but anyway, that was our great debate between me and Mace.
Yeah.
So now we will do it.
Which Omega got no say at all. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
So, I keep looking at these questions, and I keep repeating the same ones for Spud, because I've had them for 3 weeks in a row, and he's never been here. Anyway, we'll start with Mace. What is your favorite celebrity involvement in wrestling?
My favorite celebrity involvement in wrestling?
Yes, let's see, favorite celebrity moment in wrestling.
I'm definitely going to have to go for the good old classic Leslie Nielsen at SummerSlam looking for the Undertaker. Because the guy was actually funny and I was entertained by a celebrity at a pay-per-view.
Okay, there you go. Omega, do you agree that with CM Punk that Kevin Nash is out of touch?
Yeah. Who makes a Waffle House reference anymore, for God's sakes? He didn't know that CM Punk was already in the top card. He didn't know that. He didn't know half the shit he was talking about. It even came out that, well, he didn't want to work with a script, and then it's like, I kind of fucked up. Give me bullet points.
Chat room didn't mention Chuck Norris and Pete Rose for the celebrity involvement thing.
I know Bob Barker.
Yeah, that too. Anyway, we'll move back to you, Omega.
See, it never left.
Yeah, we're going back to you, because I don't want to go to Mace yet.
Uh-oh. Hey, I'm the one that's supposed to be going uh-oh in that situation.
Omega, if you had to pick a name for the new WWE Tag Team Champions of Bourne and Kofi Kingston, what would it be?
Bourne and Kingston?
Yes. Here's some examples of what they want. So, you either go with what they have or one of your own. The Flight Club, Dreadlock and Load, Boom Raiders, The Wingmen, The Boom Squad, The Kingston Duo, Fly Guys, The Bourne Supremacy, Altitude Error, and The Legion of Boom.
Never let them write names.
That's why we're going to you, Omega. We'll tweet this out after the show to them. What the Omega has to say.
There's part of me that would go... See, I was starting to think of that at the time. I couldn't think of anything funny that day.
Air Jamaica.
Air Jamaica.
See, that's the thing. Like, if he was still doing the Jamaican gimmick, they could call him Air Jamaica and also get a little bit of, a little bit of promotion in there too. A few extra ad bucks on the side every time they had a match.
Product placement.
Product placement. Absolutely. And it's difficult.
Is that somebody in the chat room saying Born to Boom?
That's not bad. Better than some of the stuff they came up with.
I think the ones that are just their own names are hilarious. Okay, the Bourne Supremacy. Okay.
Lawsuit.
There's two people in the tag team, you jackass.
I sort of got
it's like calling the Hart Foundation is now known as Brett and Friends.
I did get a little bit annoyed when I saw Legion of Boom. There's a certain Hall of Famer that might have a disagreement with that.
Yeah.
So, do you have an idea, Omega?
Oh.
They can be the unnamed tag team? Tag name pending.
Yeah, insert name here.
So,
mind you, nothing will beat the makeshift name for Mark Henry and what's his face here? The little Asian bloke. It's been so long. Yoshitatsu. Mark Henry and Yoshitatsu was chicken and rice.
Here. Here, you want to combine names, you know, you could call them the Air Kings.
That actually fits.
Wouldn't be bad on merchandise. Which is what you got to make sure it works with.
We should tweet them that after the show. I think I might.
You do that.
I will. And you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/wildtalkradio.
Call me Shill.
That's shilling right there for you. We will talk about Raw during on Twitter too, so follow us. Anyway, Mace, your final question.
Final question ever?
No, just final question for tonight.
You will never be asked another question in your entire life.
Yes! It's a TNA question.
Of course.
Because the question might end your life.
With the recent news about the Hulk Hogan porn, what would the name of the Mace porn movie be?
Uh,
I don't know what it would be called, but it would be the most boring porno ever. I don't get laid enough to be considered being made into a porno.
But if you were a porn star, what would your porn movie, debut movie, be called?
I don't know, because all the good ones are taken. And no, Jersey Girl, I wouldn't be doing one called Screwing Lita. That would be Omega's debut.
Whoa. Yeah, that'd be my porn debut, right? Right before you find my suicide note.
And it's a Hogan parody porn, not actual Hulk Hogan porn.
Thank God.
I should clear that up.
Yeah, be clear on that.
Go to the Wild Talk Radio Network Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can see the picture.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
Rock found a trailer for it, too.
I know. So anyway, Mace, the name of your porn would be...
A Lazy Sunday Afternoon.
The Horsey Shore?
Down under her.
Oh my God moments? Anyway.
World of Warcraft.
That's already been done.
Two.
Magic the Gathering.
Chat room.
Yeah, I think you'd be a copyright problem with that one.
Yeah, Logan Cross in the chat room says it could be a parody of No Holds Barred with holds changed into, well...
That wouldn't be hard. Think about wrestling holds and then go look at the Kama Sutra. There is so many crossovers in the world of wrestling and the Kama Sutra that you go, holy shit, I need to get out of the business.
Oh, Mace, I got it.
You got it?
Master of 1,004 positions.
Every second one's got to be armbar.
Except the arm's doing something else.
Yeah. Anyway, now that we've destroyed everybody's mind, that brings us to the end of
this.
The Three Stooges
Whatever
edition.
This is.
The Three Stooges edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. Stay tuned Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com for OWW Radio with Alan Wojcik. I believe Adam Pearce, the NWA Heavyweight Champion, is returning to the program for an interview.
Is he the current NWA Champion?
From what Alan says, yes.
Okay, the current NWA World Champion. Scrap Iron. What's his name? Scrap Iron.
Adam Pearce.
Adam Pearce, yeah.
There you go.
I thought Aaron for some reason, but Adam Pearce will be live on WWE Radio Tuesday night.
Wednesday night, again, 9 p.m. Eastern, is the return of Omega and myself, along with Spug, for another week of all your geek news and generalized random talking known as Otaku Talk Live. Will we find out what other races Spug is allergic to this week? You'll have to tune in and find out.
Smart money is on Korea.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, you shall have Rock, Subway, and the Godfather Extreme Rob Parks return for CB Radio, which again is a lot of weird shit, just like what the fuck are people doing on trampolines at the VMAs?
Exactly, and just so you know, we are hurricane-proof, bitches.
Yeah. Don't have to go hide under a table. Yeah.
Take your tornadoes and shove it. We're hurricane-proof. Oh, yeah.
We can live through anything, motherfuckers.
Damn right. And by the way, go to cbradio.ewzone.com. Buy our shit.
Yes, including our most awesome t-shirts.
Okay, yes, let me do this. Don't forget about September 2 Dismember, TCW's next show in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. check it out. Got a couple of guys listening. You never know what Alberta Wrestling Stars will be on this program in the very near future. But yeah, check out TCW Wrestling in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Contact Tim Stein. He'll get you all the information as well on Facebook.
Yes. So for the invisible Tim Stein and Spug, who weren't here tonight, I'm Mace, that's Omega, that's the god of internet radio, known as Sir Rockin. We shall see you all next week, I believe 10 p.m. There is no pay-per-view?
I don't think there's a pay-per-view. No, the next pay-per-view is September 11th.
Ah. Okay, so we shall see you back here 10 p.m. next Sunday night for Wrestle Talk Radio, where hopefully we'll have more people and be more entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody.
Wildtalkradio.com.